joined now in the studio with an update from the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. I have Executive Director Mike Lewis. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Leslie.
Let's start with our flush index. How do things look?
So we estimated that there were 287,329 visitor nights for the month of January. And that's a significant increase, really, over January of 24 of about 7%.
Okay, and any chance, I mean, we're including the Sundance numbers, right? People here for the Sundance Film Festival?
For the most part, Sundance went into February this year by 2 days, so, But looking back at Sundance, if you look at just those, say, 10, 11 days, in 23, we had pretty high numbers, but we also had a lot of snow that year, so we cannot differentiate between Sundance people and skiers. So from 23 to 24, we saw about a 5% reduction in wastewater. And then if you compare 24 and 25, the flows were almost identical.
Okay. Yeah. So again, even with the low snow, still seeing a 7% increase this year.
Right.
Interesting. All right. What you also do is check the weekly wastewater surveillance, and that shows us the spread of communicable diseases like COVID.
Right. So in the Park City area, we have two water reclamation facilities, and those samples show that the COVID is elevated currently. Elevated means that if you were to look at all the data, and zero is the lowest number we've ever had, and 100 is the highest number we have ever had, and we're in the 60 to 80% range of our number. So it is on the high side currently. Good news is that Colville is low, and Wasatch County continues to be fairly low. So, you know, this is something we have seen before during ski season with a lot of people coming in, and it tends to, rise a little bit.
So, I mean, we're saying 6 out of 10 people.
What it means is that if 50 would be kind of the median number we've ever seen, so we're higher than average.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Last month, I got a question from a listener wanting to know more about septic tanks, and where are those systems that are not attached to the Snyderville Basin sewer system dispose of their waste? Again, septic systems are not your responsibility.
Right. The septic tanks are authorized and installed in accordance with health department regulations, but from time to time, septic tanks need to be pumped out, and we do accept septic tank waste from permitted haulers at our Silver Creek treatment facility. When that material comes into our facility, we have a dump site, and it's mixed in with our incoming wastewater for processing. I might add also, hey, we appreciate these types of questions from your listeners, because if we can get more information out there, we'll be happy to do so.
Yeah, and when somebody brings that to you, there's a fee involved?
Yes, there is. Most of what is pumped out of septic tanks is non-biodegradable. It's usually grit and dirt and things like that that settle to the bottom of the tank over, many years. So really what we're doing is we're providing a service to the community for folks that have septic tanks. It goes into our system, and we separate out that non-biodegradable material, and it ends up in our solids that we haul off every day.
Yeah, and do septic tanks then bring anything to the sewer system that you need to deal with, or is it just like whatever you see every day?
It's pretty much whatever we see every day. One thing that we currently do not accept into our system is RV waste, because we don't have a dump site. However, I might point out that the new Maverick station that is proposed to be built at the intersection 248 and 40, we are working with them to have an RV dump site, and that'll be connected to our system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting then. Let's see. What else do you want to say? Anything else you want to say about that?
We're happy to accept septic tank waste. Again, permitted haulers, other wastewater treatment facilities also accept the septic tank waste.
Okay. How often do those things need to be cleaned out? Any idea?
Well, I lived in a home that had a septic tank, and we cleaned ours out about every 10 years, assuming it's properly maintained. You don't dump things down the drain that aren't supposed to be there.
Yeah. And if they fail, what's the failure?
It usually will bubble up in your yard where the septic tank is. That's usually when you find out that it's not working properly.
Is that overflow or is it just leaking?
Well, it can be a stopped up. There's a biological activity takes place in your septic tank, and then the non-solid water goes out through your leach field, which is a series of pipes that the water goes into and seeps into the ground. If the tank gets clogged up, either with sediment or like body wipes, things like that you're not supposed to flush, or your leach field becomes inoperable because the little holes in the pipes become plugged up. And when that happens, you'll see a pond of water in your yard above your septic tank generally.
And that's an expensive fix, it sounds like.
Well, of course, then you haul, you have a septic tank hauler come in, and there's a lid to these tanks, and they pump them out, and usually that does the trick.
So is Summit County still approving septic tanks, or are we trying to get everybody onto a sewer system?
Well, again, this is a joint conversation. It needs to be held with the health department, but the goal is, when new developments go in, is try to get that connected to the central wastewater system. Mm-hmm. However, some of these developments go into locations where the density is low and main wastewater lines are not available. So septic tanks can still be approved if they meet the health department regulations.
Okay. You are putting out a request for the public to not cover up manhole covers. These are in the street. How do they get covered up?
Well, we have over 7,000 manhole covers, and surprisingly, a fair portion of those are in people's backyards, alleys. We have sewer lines that are behind homes or between condos, so they're kind of everywhere. Yeah, the common sense would be that they're all in the middle of the street, but the fact of the matter, that's just not the case. So we are asking homeowners, hey, if you have a manhole cover in your backyard or whatever, and you're doing landscaping, don't cover it up, because when we need to get in there in emergency and fix the sewer lines so sewage or wastewater doesn't back up into your house, we need quick access to the system, and if we have to dig down and hunt for the manhole covers, that can delay our response. So if you have a manhole that you really want to hide it in some way, just give us a call and we can work with you so that we still know where it is and we can find it in the middle of the night when things go wrong.
Yeah. Do they need to be marked like we do with hydrants?
In some cases, we mark them where the snow gets to be very deep. Summit Park is an example. We do have metal detectors, and we also have all of our manhole covers GPS'd, so we can do that. But again, if we're dealing with an emergency, if we have to pull our GPS units out and metal detectors out, it just delays our response. And again, we're just asking people not to cover them up. And it's usually a situation where people are doing landscaping and they cover them up.
Mm. Also, we're going to give people another reminder about the flushable wipes really are not flushable.
Right. We continue to see a large number of these wipes into the system. The box says flushable. True, you can flush them, but they're not treatable. So, put them in the trash can and prevent your sewer line from being plugged up and backing up wastewater into your home.
Okay, and then cooking oil, I know, also another problem for you, especially in these cold temps, right?
Yeah, right, and that's the reason we bring it up on this time of the year when cooking oils go down the drain. The system is cold because of, the snow cover and all, and that oil and grease solidifies, sticks to the inside of the pipe, and then when it forms this gooey mess, everything else sticks to it, and before you know it, you got a sewer line that's stopped up.
Yeah, and I've often heard that a good practice is to get in and all your sinks and drains actually kind of pour in a gallon of hot water.
Hot water helps, or occasionally get some drain cleaner, and as a preventative action, pour the drain cleaner down your kitchen sinks, and that will help reduce the buildup that you have in your home pipes.
Okay, so drain cleaner, I know it's allowed, but you can deal with that, huh?
We can deal with it. The newer type drain cleaners are much less caustic than they used to be, so we can handle them.
Okay. Also wanted to bring up, I had sent you the press release yesterday about a $110 million grant that's significant to the Weber Basin Water Conservancy District. I mean, that's huge. I mean, the Centerville Basin Water Reclamation District deposits the reclaimed water from the Silver Creek Treatment Plant into the Weber River.
Well, both of our treatment facilities discharge into streams that ultimately end up in the Weber River. Now, the Weber Basin Water Conservancy District is a drinking water or a culinary supplier for several cities and counties. And this particular loan that they've received from EPA is to expand and upgrade a number of their facilities. Interesting, one of those facilities that they're currently designing involves taking treated wastewater from one of the sewer improvement districts in that area and using it to increase the flows to the bird refuge on Willard Bay instead of using drinking water to send that way. And they're required to send, it's about 90,000 acre feet a year to the bird refuge. And instead of using drinking water, they're now going to take the treated wastewater and meet that obligation and save the drinking water for culinary purposes. So, yeah, Scott Paxman and the group there at Weber Basin are working hard to utilize treated wastewater to meet obligations instead of using, culinary water.
Hmm. So it doesn't sound like this would provide any benefit then to the start of a basin.
No, it doesn't provide any benefit to us, but it's a good exercise of using treated wastewater to meet an obligation.
Yeah, and we've talked over the last month, just in terms of so many of the federal grants and funding could be in jeopardy as we see, a cutback of the federal government. How reliant are you on federal grants and loans?
We work with the Weber Basin, like watershed coordinators. Those type of positions are funded with federal dollars, and that's still all up in the air currently.
Any idea what that might impact?
We don't know. We simply do not know yet.
Yeah. And your budget year is calendar or?
Ours is calendar. Now, those positions are funded through the state. We do assist, so it doesn't affect our budget directly. It affects the state's budget, but those personnel that provide services to this local area, that's where the impact would be felt.
Okay. Mike, anything else you want to mention?
No, that's about it. Just back to the wastewater, wastewater-based epidemiology. There was a question from one of your listeners. Where are the samples collected from? And the wastewater surveillance samples are collected from 35 statewide treatment facilities and are analyzed by the Utah Department of Health twice a week. That includes our two facilities here in Park City. Colville, Jordanelle, Heber, and Midway all participate in the wastewater surveillance program.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Leslie.
That's Mike Lewis, Executive Director of the Centerville Basin Water Reclamation District. And again, if you do ever have any questions about the sewer services, you can email Mike or you can certainly email us here at news@kpcw.org.